Okay, good evening, everybody. Today, B'ez Hashem, we're going to learn Chulin Daf Pei Gimel. This is the last daf of Perek Osov Espino, and B'ez Hashem, the beginning of the of Perek Kisoy Hadam. We are holding a few lines into the page, about 5 lines into the page, at Toshima. Today's show is sponsored by Dr. David Lander and his wife and children, and Lili Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha Shalom, the Neshama Shev and Aliyah. It's also sponsored by Chani and J.J. Hornblass in memory of the Honorable Jerome Hornblass, Zichron Levracha, J.J.'s father, whose yard site is tomorrow, is Neshama Shev and Aliyah, and in memory of Mayor Penstein, Zichron Levracha, friend of our shir, and a friend of mine, Chani's father, whose yard site is Tu Ba'av, his Neshama should have an Aliyah. So what we're going to talk about today is the following. First, we're going to finish up the discussion we started this morning when we were trying to bring proofs that Sumchus holds that your Chayiv Shtei Malkios, even when they're not gufim muchlakim, even when the two isurim that you violate are not on gufim muchlakim. So we brought two rayas, both of them failed. Now we're going to try a third raya that sumchus is the one that holds that your chayiv shtei malkios, even when it's not gufim muchlakim. And then the Mishnah is going to talk about when a mocher has to inform the lokeach that he sold the mother or the offspring that day to save the lokeach from potentially violating osov espino. The Gemara is going to have three different explanations why the lokeach is considered the owner of that which of the meat that he's buying even before the shochet ever shechts the animal. Where's his kinyan? What kind of how could he possibly be the owner of something that he was never moshech, that he never did a meshicha on? And then the Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Aleph is going to talk about defining the term yom for osova espino, because we know you're not allowed to shecht osova espino on yom echad. But how do we determine yom? Is yom halayla holechachar yom? Hayom holechachar halayla? So the Gemara is going to talk about that. I'm going to have two different ways to darshan the phrase Yom Echad as it appears in Osov Espino. And then Be'ez Hashem will begin the sixth parak of Maseches Chulin. We're going to start with a Mishnah that talks about when, where, and to what does the mitzvah of Kisui Hadam apply. And the Gemara is going to talk about why isn't there a mitzvah of Kisui Hadam on a Behemas Kodshim. And that conversation will take us into the next stuff, into tomorrow morning's shir. So let us begin. Again, we are on Pei Gimel Amud Aleph, about 5 lines into the page. Tashema. So again, we're trying to bring a raya that Sumchus holds that Yechayiv Shtayim for two violating the same mitzvah twice, Bebas Achas, even when it's not on gufim uchlakim. So Tashema, what if the following happens, says the Braisa? Achal shnei gidin mishtei yerechos mishtei behemos. You eat two gidanoshes from two thighs of two different animals, sofik shmonim, you get double malchus. Rabbi Yehuda omer eno sofik al arbaim. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you only violate a gidanosha. So you only get 40 lashes, one time malchus. Say, hey chidami, what exactly is the case that they're arguing about? Ilem ubezachar zo b'shtei hasra'os. If they're arguing about a case where the person violated the Yisra of Achilas Gid after being warned about it, and then he was warned again, and he did another Maisa Achila. Well, then my time is Rabbi Yehuda Damar Abba Masulo. Why on earth would Rabbi Yehuda say you only get 40 Malkios in such a case? Everyone should agree that you're Chayiv 80 Malkios. At least it's only Seltzer. So everyone should agree that you're Chayiv 80 Malkios. Ela Pshita B'bas Achas U'B'chada Hasra'a. So it must be that it's happening all at the same time, and it's one hasra'ah. So they give him one hasra'ah, and he eats two gidanoshes from two different animals. So now I understand that Rabbi Yehuda says that you're only going to be chayiv 40 malkios. So man tanakama, who's the tanakama that says that you're chayiv 80? Well, ilim rabbanon de pligi alid sumchus, if it's the rabbanon of our Mishnah who argues on sumchus and hold that when you shecht the generation one, then generation three, then generation two, you're only chayiv once. Well, that wouldn't make sense. In the case of Osov Espino, where the chiyuvim are on account of two separate gufin, and nevertheless, patri rabbanon, the rabbanon are going to say you're only going to be chayiv once. Hacho over here by eating shnei gidim, where it's from shnei gufim, where it's may guf echad rather, lo kol shekein, all the more so that you should only be chayiv once. What do you mean it's may guf echad? We said this is from two different animals. It's two different animals that each have a gidanasha. How could the Gemara call that guf echad. Meaning we're saying, if by Yosef Espino, where the chiv comes from shnei gufim, then kal v'chomer, when you eat giran asher from two different animals, then where it's only guf echad. So what are we talking about? It's not guf echad. So the Acharim explained that even though it's from Shnei Behemos, it's not called Gufa Mechlakim, because you could be Chayiv two Malkios, even if you eat a Gid of a single Behema, if you eat Shnei Kzesim of a Gid of a single Behema. But by Yosef Espino, since there's no way to be Mechayiv Shtayim, unless you get a second animal involved, unless you get an additional animal involved, that's why that's considered Gufa Mechlakim. But over here, even though the case we happen to give is where there is a second animal involved, you don't need a second an animal involved in order to be chayiv shtei malkios. So that's how some of the Acharonim explain. So anyway, but it can't be the Rabbanan of our Mishnah. So who is the author of this braisa? Who is the chachamim in this braisa? Elalav sumchasi. It must be sumchas who holds that you're chayiv shtayim in our Mishnah. And you see that sumchas would maintain that you're chayiv shtayim even when it's only guf echad. So that seems to be the raya that sumchas in fact holds that way. Says the Gemara, not a good raya. Leolam b'se'acharze. Maybe this braisa is not talking about where they did it b'bas achas. It's talking about where they gave a guy asra and he ate one gilan asha. Then they gave him asra and the other one and he ate the other one. What was our problem with interpreting the braisa that way? Udekamrit, my time with Rabbi Yehuda. We said, well, then why does Rabbi Yehuda say you're only chayiv arbayim if you got two separate asros and you violated the avera twice? So kigon delesbe kazayis. The case must be that one of the gidin that you ate didn't have a full kazayis in it. Titanya achalavin b'kazayis, because the braisa tells us if you eat a gidin asha that doesn't have a full kazayis, chayiv tanakama holds you chayiv malchus because it's a beria and therefore it does not require. Rabbi Yehuda says you're only going to be chayiv if it has an actual kezayis. So why does Rabbi Yehuda hold you're only chayiv arba'im if you got shtei asra'os? Because one of them was not a kezayis, so you're not going to be chayiv separately for that one that was not a kezayis. The Ramban and the Rashba understand that neither of them were a kezayis on their own, that it's only with the tziruf of the two of them that it equals a kezayis. But Rashi understands differently. Rashi understands that no, you're not mitzarif the two of them if there are two asra'os. So one of them must have been a kezayis, and the other one must not have been a kezayis. And that's why Rabbi Yehuda says, you only get one malchus. Okay, so since there's a way to explain even this braisa as talking about a case of zeh achar zeh and not bebas achas, so we're out of proofs. We have no proof that sumchus would hold that yichayiv shtei malchios even on guf echad, because we don't have any braisa where he says that, or any mishnah where he says that. So in the maskon of our sugya, we do not know what sumchus holds when you do the same iser twice, bebas achas, without gufim mechlakim. If it's gufim mechlakim, we know what he holds. That's our Mishnah about shechting generation one, generation three, then generation two. But when it's not gufim mechlakim, we do not know if sumchus holds that you're chayiv shtayim or you're only chayiv achas. Okay, so now the Mishnah is going to delineate for us the times of the year that people need to make a su'uda, they're pressed to make a su'uda, and normally when you buy a behema during those times of the year, it's understood that you're buying the behema to shecht it right away. So if you sold the mother or the offspring of that behema that day, the chacham were mesakein that the mocher needs to let the lokeach know that I sold the mother, I sold the offspring on that day. Now, and what does that assume about all the other days of the year that are not going to be identified in the Mishnah? So the Rashba and the Ran quote that when it comes to Shari Yomos Hashana, you don't need to be Choshesh for Osav Espino, because it's a Choshesh Rachok, meaning it doesn't even have to be part of the conversation. The Mocher doesn't have to mention it, the Lokech doesn't need to ask about it, you just go and you buy a Behema. Why is it a Choshesh Rachok? Because, first of all, you don't know if this animal has an offspring or not. And even if it has an offspring or it has a mother, we're not sure if it was sold that day. And even if it was sold that day, we don't know if they plan on shechting it that day. We don't know if they plan on shechting it at all. Maybe they're using it for, for plowing or anything else. And even if they plan on shechting it, we don't know if they're going to shecht it that day. So therefore, it's such a chashash rachok, it doesn't even warrant a conversation. It's dafka these four times a year, where not only does it warrant conversation, but the mocher must let the person know. Whereas the Ramban understands that no, Shar Yemos Hashana, the Lokeach needs to ask. It's just not the Mocher's responsibility to be forthcoming with the information off the bat. But the Lokeach does need to be Mevarer and ask, was the mother or the offspring of this behema sold today? And was it sold for Shechita? Even though it's a Chashash Rachok, whenever it's Efshar Levarer, you need to be Mevarer. What's unique about these particular four times a year that the Mishnah is going to highlight is that the Mocher needs to be proactive in letting the Lokeach know about it. So that's Machlokas Rishonim about what the rest of the year is like. But Barba, Pragam Bishana, these four times of the year, Hamocher Behem Lechaveru, if someone sells a behemoth to somebody else, Tzarech Lahodio, Ima Macharti Lishchot, Bita Macharti Lishchot, he needs to let him know, I sold the mother to be shechted today, I sold the offspring to be shechted today, and you have to be Choshesh that it's being sold, that they're both going to be shechted on the same day, so you can't not shecht the behemoth that you're buying if you know that the mother or the offspring were sold on that same day to be shechted. And if the mocher fails to let the lokeach know about this, says the Ramban and the Rashba, it's a mekach ta'us. I'm buying this animal because I need food today. I don't need food in a week from now. I don't need food tomorrow. I need it today. So if I'm buying it and you're selling me something that I cannot possibly use today, that's a mekach ta'us. So the reason, and Sharyamos Hashana, it's apparently not a mekach ta'us. Why isn't it a mekach ta'us? So it depends on the machlokas rishonim we just spoke about before. What has to happen b'Sharyamos Hashana? Does there need to be a conversation or does there not need to be a conversation? So according to those Rishonim, that in Shar Yemos Hashana, when you sell the mother or the bas on that day, you need to let the lokeach know. It's by these arba prakim. When you don't let him know, it's a mekach talus because lokeach kataina that stam kona behema on these days. Obviously, it's for me to shecht it today. But by Shar Yemos Hashana, it's not a mekach talus because the mocher could say, look, who said you wanted it for today? So even if I did sell the mother of the offspring today, who said that I had no idea that you wanted to use this animal today just because I'm selling it to you today? And according to the Ramban, who holds that Peshayim Mos Hashana, the Lokeach has to ask the question if the aim or bas was sold that day. So the chilik between these 4 days versus Shayim Mos Hashana is that Peshayim Mos Hashana, the Lokeach has to ask the Mocher. And if the Lokeach didn't ask the Mocher, it's on him. So he can't claim Mekach Ta'us. You were supposed to do something. You were supposed to ask about it. So he can't claim Mekach Ta'us against the Mocher. So what are these four magical days where we assume automatically everyone's buying to Shecht? Ve'eluhein, Erev Yom Tov Achron Shel Chag, Erev, the last days of Sukkos, which means Shemini Atzeres, where they would eat a lot of meat because it's a regel b'fnei atzmo and doesn't really have any mitzvahs other than eating meat. So they would celebrate a lot. There's a lot of simcha in Shemini Atzeres. Ve'erev Yom Tov Rishon Shel Pesach, Erev Pesach, because they needed to have a lot of animals, because the halacha is that Korban Pesach needs to be nech al ala sova, that it's a siyag da oraisa, that you need to be ala sova so that you don't come to break the bones of the Korban Pesach when you eat it. So you have to have a lot of food in your system in advance. The Erev Atzeres, an Erev Shavuos, where they brought a lot of Shalmei Chagiga and Olas Re'iyah, Rashi writes. Tosa says that the reason it's special is because it's the Yom Matan Torah, where the Gemara in Pesachim says that even though on other Yom Tovim it's Chatzi Lashem, Chatzi Lachem, or you have the option of O Kula Lachem, O Kula Lashem, Hakol Moldim Ba'atzeres, Tabina Nami Lachem, everyone agrees that on Shavuos you need to have an element of Lachem. So there was a lot of emphasis on eating, on Su'uda, on Shavuos. Ukadivir Rabbi Yosef Glili, after Erev Yom HaKippurim b'Galil. And Rabbi Yossi HaGlili says, you know, in Galil they used to eat a lot of meat on Erev Yom Kippur when there was a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. So in Galil they held a mitzvah to eat means not just to eat bread, it means to eat meat. So they would have dafka, a lot of meat on Erev Yom Kippur, and therefore you could assume any behemoth that's being bought that day was being bought to be shechted. So Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Eimasai, when does the mocher need to let the lokeach know that he sold the aim or the bas? Bizman Shein Revach. That's only if he sold it on that day itself, where you assume that they both want to shecht it on that day. Aval yesh lo Revach. But if you sold one of them a day prior to Erev Yom Tov, then ain't tzarich l'hodia. You don't need to let the second lokeach know that I sold the mother yesterday, even though today might be Erev, Pesach, or Erev, last days of Sukkot, or whatever one of those days. But if a chassan comes in to buy an animal and a kala comes in to buy an animal, then you got to let them know they're obviously buying for the wedding. So you know what day they're going to use it. They're going to want to shecht all this meat in advance of the wedding. Now the way Rabbi Yehuda phrased it is emasai. Now emasai normally means that it's coming to be mefarish. It's not coming to be cholik. So as machlokas we shown him over here what the emasai of Rabbi Yehuda is about. That the Rush holds that Rabbi Yehuda is being mefarish the Tanakama, because that's what the word emasai always means. So he's not disagreeing. He's saying that the Tanakama says you need to let them know, but when is that so? Only when it's mamish the same day. Whereas the Urayim writes that it's muchach from the Mishnah where it says umoda Rabbi Yehuda. The Rabbi Yehuda will even be moda. Moda to who? I thought everyone's in agreement. So Elamai, it must be that even though he uses the term emasai, Rabbi Yehuda is in fact being cholek and he does not agree with the Tanakama. Over the Tanakama would say that even if it's yesh revach, you have to let them know. Barba prakamelu, in these four times of the year, not only do you need to let them know whether you sold the aim or the bas on that day, but mashchitin es hatabach bal korcho. If you're a customer and you want to buy meat, and the butcher's got this giant animal, he's got this big cow, and he's like, I'm going to cut up this cow because you want one little piece of steak, and I'd say, you know how much it's going to cost me? So you can force him. You can force him to shecht the cow, even though you're only going to buy a small amount. Because the assumption is that when you give him money, you are automatically kona your piece of steak, and therefore, in order to get your piece of steak, you can force him to shech the animal. Even if the shor is worth 1,000 dinar, and you're buying 1 dinar worth of meat, you can force him to shech if it's one of these days. And therefore, since you can force him, in mace lekech. If it dies and doesn't get just drops dead, the animal has a heart attack, didn't get a proper shechita, then the lokeach loses his dinars worth of meat that he had in the animal, because we view him as the owner already. Aval b'shar yimas hashana, but on all the rest of the days of the year, ain't okay. You can't force the guy to shecht the animal just so you can get your dinars worth of meat, and therefore we view it as if you are not yet the owner of your dinars worth of meat. Leficha chameis meis lamocher. So therefore, if the animal dies, the mocher can't say, oh, but you owe me a dinar for that piece of meat. No, he's got to give you back your dinar if you already paid for it, because it still belongs to the mocher on all the rest of the days of the year. So the Gemara says, Tana, we have a brisa, that when you buy a behemoth during one of these four times, im lo hodio, if the mocher didn't tell you that he had sold it, that he had sold the mother or the daughter that day, holich v'shochet v'ena nimna. You can go and shecht, and you don't have to worry that maybe he did sell it. Because if he did sell it, he would have told you. Meaning, once we have this takana, that the mocher has to tell you, his silence is a admission that he has not sold the mother or the daughter that day, and therefore you don't have to worry about a thing. You can go ahead and live life normally and shecht the animal. In the Tshuvas Chutah Meshulash, Chelek Gimel Siman Mem Daled, he writes that what's the chiddush of this brisa? That even in a case where the mocher is right there, and you could just ask him, why not double check? Ask him, did you sell its aim? Did you sell its bas today? We don't require you to do that. Because even though normally when you have a chazaka that we're relying on, and it's efshar levarer, you should be mevarer, over here it's not necessary. Because if he sold the aim or the bas, he has a halachic requirement to tell you. So you can assume that he's going to follow that halachic requirement, and you don't need to be mevarer any further, right? There's always some limit to how much a person has to actually be mevarer, right? So you don't have to be mevarer to such an extent when you know that there's a halacha that requires him to tell you, had it been the case. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Emasai, so Rabbi Yehuda said, when does the mocher need to let you know? That's only if there's no revach b'neihem, that they're both sold on Erev Yom Tov. But if there's revach b'neihem, then he doesn't need to let you know that he sold the aim, unless it's a chasen and kala, then he always needs to let you know. So lamad the misni It's a funny example. Why does it say that you sold the aim to the chasan and the bas to the kala? Why not just say you sold an aim ubita to a chasan and kala? I don't know who bought which one. What difference does it make who bought which one? So says Gemara, that's the way Mishnayos always work. Milsa agavorche kamashman. There's always a chiddush. There's always like the secondary chiddush that you can get just from the way they choose to phrase it. Da'orachar lemitruch pechasan atfemi bekalasa. That the derech eretz is that the chasan side should spend more money on the chasana than the kala side is supposed to be spending on the chasana. And all the fathers of daughters are smiling as if that will never happen, but we wish it did. Okay. So, but the derech eretz is that the chasan side is supposed to spend more than the father side. The reason for it is. The Radal in Pirkei Rabbi Elazar says that the derech was that the kala would go live in the Beis HaChasan. The Gemara in Bava Basra says that a chasan who lives in Beis Chamav is kal and he's not so, you know, not nice things about him. So it would always be normal that she'd go live by the chasan. So if she's coming to live by his house, he's got to take responsibility in his house. So that could be why the minhag has changed, because typically they spend more time by the kala's family than they do by the chasan's family when you have young couples. The Divrei Chamudos is Medayik from Lashon Gemara. It says Kamash Milan, that it's the derech of the chasan to be tareach more, that the brice is being machadish adin, that the krovim of the kala could be kofa the chasan to do more, that if they're doing X, they could say, look, you got to do X plus, you know, if you're the chasan. Okay, Parbra Prakam, we then said in the Mishnah that there are these four times a year, you can force the tabach to shecht, you can force the shochet to shecht, even though he doesn't want to, because you're already zoch in the meat from the second you gave him the money. Says Vari Lomashach, what do you mean? To make a kinyan giving most low konos. Most is only kona on a daraisa level, but on a drabana level, we require a mishicha. We require taking something. There are dinim like this. So answers Gemara, three answers. Number one, the Gemara says, Amar from Rav Kishamashach. No, maybe the case is that you did a mishicha, and that's why you could force him. Says Gemara, that doesn't work, because he a seifa, the shari must shanein okain. Because the seifa goes on to say, but if this same thing were to happen any other day of the year, you can't force him to shecht it. And therefore, if it dies, it's the mocher's loss. But v'amashach, but if you already did a meshicha, then why should it be the mocher's loss? You're already the rightful owner. You're the lokeach. And you're the owner. So says Gemara, okay, second answer. How is it that it's considered to already belong to the Lokeach? Where's his kinyin? So the Olam Shalom Mashach, Ugon Shazika Lo Alidei Acher. He didn't do a kinyin Mashicha. Someone else went and did a kinyin on his behalf. So Barba Prakim Elu Dizchusulo. In these four times of the year where everyone's vying for a piece of meat, so it's a zchus for a person to be able to be kona a piece of meat on his behalf. So you could be zocha for him, even though he's not there, and he never made you a shliach to buy his meat for him. But all the rest of the days of the year where meat is expensive, and you don't know that this person wants to spend the money on a piece of meat, saying you cannot be chavan la'adam unless he's right there. So therefore, the kinyan would not work on his behalf. That is answer number two. Answer number three: Rav Elazar Rabbi Yochanan ba'abar prakim elu hamidu chacham divrei maldin Torah. During these four times, because everybody needs meat during these four times, the Chachamim stuck with the Din Da'oraisa and deactivated the Din Da'rabanan that they had been misakein. Dam Rav Yochanan, Dvar Torah Ma'us Konos. On a Da'oraisa level, just giving money is a valid form of kinyan. So the Rabbanan said, yeah, we're sticking with that. Matam Amru Mashicha Kono. Why is it that the Chachamim said that money is not enough and you need to do a kinyan mishicha, that we're afraid I'm going to pay for wheat that you have in a storage facility, I'll become the owner of it, a fire breaks out in the storage facility, you're going to do nothing about it because it's not your wheat anymore, it's not your problem anymore. So Chazal made a takana that you need to do a mishicha. But in certain cases, they could suspend that takana and rely on the din Torah. And that's what they're doing over here. They're suspending that takana and relying on the din Torah that Ma'os is konos. The Meiri explains that they suspended the drabanan because of the kavod of these days. The Chum wanted everyone to be able to have meat for Yantiv. So they were misakin that you should be able to force the butcher to shecht. The Ran explains that since they all needed meat, everyone wants to make the kinyan as quickly as possible. So hamidu chacham al din Torah, so that kinyanim can be streamlined. They can happen quickly. Everyone wants to be able to get their meat in an expeditious way. The Chuvas Mutzal Me'esh writes that it's mistaver that the reason they were hamidu al din Torah is because it's l'tzorich mitzvah, and therefore he says maybe whenever it's l'tzorich mitzvah, hamidu devarim al din Torah, and then Moses is going to be kodos. So he applies it to other circumstances as well. Okay, new Mishnah. Yom Echad Omer Bosav Espino. When we say you're not allowed to shecht Osov Espino on the same day, what do we mean the same day? So Hayom Holech Achar Alayla. It means halachic days. It means the way Judaism views days, where the Erev Tisha B'Av, Ches Av, starts in a half hour from now, right? And it goes through, tomorrow, up until tomorrow evening. So if you shecht, a behema at 10 o'clock tonight, and then you shecht another one at 10 a.m. tomorrow morning, so that's Osov Espino B'Yom Echad. That's considered the same day. So Zu Darash Rabbi Shimon ben Zoma. Rabbi Shimon ben Zoma made the following drasha. Nemar B'Maisa Bereshis, it says B'Maisa Bereshis, by the creation of the first day, it says Yom Echad. It says Ve'yer Ve'yvoker Yom Echad. V'Nemar B'Osov Espino, and it says in the context of Osov Espino, Yom Echad. So, Ma Yom Echad B'Maisa Bereshis Hayom Alech Echar Alayla, just like in Maisa Bereshis Yom Echad means that the Yom is Alech Echar Alayla, that the day starts with the preceding night. Af Yom Echad Ha'amur B'Osov Espino Hayom Alech Echar Alayla. So to the Yom Echad that it says B'Osov Espino, it's also Hayom Alech Echar Alayla. So it's not based on waking up in the morning and till you go to sleep at night. It's based on when the calendar turns. In Judaism, that's how we determine Yom Echad. So the Braisa tries to explain, why do you need a drasha to tell me Hayom Holech Achar Alayla? Tanur Rabbanan, the Bryce says, Ezo Darash Rabbi Shimon ben Zoma. That when it comes to the Yisra Vosel Espino, Rabbi Shimon ben Zoma says, ooh, I got a big drasha that we're makish, the Yom Echad of Vosel Espino to the Yom Echad of the first day of Bria. That's unnecessary. In Kalatar Kula, we always say Hayom Holech Achar Alayla. That's Yantif goes with Hayom Holech Achar. Everything is Hayom Holech Achar Alayla. Levisha Kulo, because the entire parsha of Osos Bino, here's the half a minute to think otherwise, Einum Adaber El B'Kachim. In the context in the Torah, where Osos Bino comes up, we're talking about Behemus Kachim. And the one exception of Hayom Alech Achar Alayla is in the Mikdash. That if we say a carbon could be eaten for one day in the Beis Mikdash, it means the day is shechted plus the night that follows. And when we say it could be eaten, right, so that meaning by Kachim, we always say Halayla Holech Achar Hayom. Or B'Kachim, Halayla Holech Achar Yom. It says B'Yom Korbanoy Yechol Yaniach Mimenu Ad Boker, right? The Torah says by Kachim, you need to eat it that day, and that means don't leave it till tomorrow morning. But tonight, you're still good to eat it because Laila is Holech Achar Yom. So that's what some of the Achronim suggest, that maybe since the din of eating meat on Yom Tov is initially a din based on Basar Shlamim, based on Korban Shlamim, maybe it's not enough that you eat meat on once during the during each calendar day of Yantif. Maybe you have to eat meat once during each Laila following Yom of Yantif, which would mean that if, let's say, in Chutz Laaretz you have a two-day Yantif, so if you eat meat on the first night and then you eat meat on the second day, you missed a whole day in between of Yom V'Laila. So maybe that would not suffice to fulfill the mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov. So in Shavuos, if that's when you do two milchig meals, one on day one and one on night two, maybe that's a problem, even though you hit both calendar days, because maybe it should follow the dinim of Kachim. So anyway, Yachal Av Zekein, so one might have thought that when it comes to of Espino, we likewise define Yom Echad as Laila Holech Achar Yom. So that's why Nemar Kan Yom Echad, V'Nemar Ma'aseh Bereishis Yom Echad. It says over here Yom Echad. It says B'Ma'aseh Bereishis Yom Echad. Ma Yom Echad Amar Ma'aseh Bereishis Yom Alech Achar Laila. Just like B'Ma'aseh Bereishis, the Yom follows the night. Af Yom Echad Amar B'Osav Espino, Yom Alech Achar Laila. So to B'Osav Espino, the Yom follows the night. That is one drasha we make from the phrase Yom Echad. But says the Braisa, there's another drasha to be made. Rebbe Omer, that the fact that it says Yom Echad, Yom HaMeyuchad, Ta'un Karus, on the day that is the special day, the Mocher needs to let everybody know, Ima Macharti Yom, Bita Macharti Yom, so that you don't come to Shach the other one on that same day. Ah, and that's the basis basis for Mikan Amur Babar Prakam Bashana, Hamachrebim Lechaver Tzarech Le'adiyo, that maybe that's a dinta oraisa, not a chashash midirabanan, that you need to let somebody know on Erev Yom Kippur, that, or whatever, on Erev Pesach, that Ima Mecharti Yom Bito Mecharti Yom. No, it's a dinta oraisa, that there is a, such a thing as a Yom HaMiyuchad, it's a special day, and on those special days, there's a din that you need to let people know that Ima Mecharti Yom Bito Mecharti Yom. So that is the Chiddush. Okay, so now Hadron Lach Osav Espino. Now we begin the parak of Kisei Hadam. So the halach is if you shecht a chayo or an oaf that you're able to eat, you have to be mechasa the dam after the shechita. Pasuk says v'ish ish mibnei Yisrael min agera gar b'socham asher yotzu tzeid chayo o oaf asher yeyachel. It's got to be something that you're able to eat. It's got to be shechita ruya v'shafach es damo v'chiso ba'ofar. So you do the shechita and you cover the blood with offer. What? Why? Why do we have such a mitzvah of Kisei Hadam? So the Rashbam, Ala Torah writes, because it's the dam is asur ba'achila, so it's like a siyag d'oraisa. I think Kli Yaakov writes something similar, that it's a siyag d'oraisa to protect me from violating the isur d'oraisa of achilas dam. As soon as the dam all pours out, we make sure to cover it up so I won't have easy access to the dam, which of course begs the question, why not on a behema? Meaning the isur of achilas dam applies to a behema as well. Sefer HaChinuch writes that the reason we do Kisei Hadam is because the nefesh is totally in the dam. The chiyus comes from the dam, and it's a midus achzarius to eat the basar when the nefesh is right there, when the dam is right there in front of you, which again begs the question, why not a behema? Meaning any explanation you can have for Kisei Hadam is likely to not really account for the fact that we don't do Kisei Hadam on a behema. But anyway, that's what this parak is about. So Kisei Hadam noheg ba'aretz of chutz la'aretz. It's noheg both in Eretz Yisrael as well as in chutz la'aretz. Bifnei abayis v'shlo. We know Kisei Hadam when there's a Beis Hamikdash, as well as after the Churban Habayis, Daf Yomi coincidence for Erev Tisha B'Av that we talk about Churban. B'chulin avelo b'muktashin. It applies, however, only to chulin animals, but not to muktashin animals. So now a chaya can never be muktashin, right? I mean, at least not kache aguf, but an oaf certainly can. So we know b'chayu b'oaf. It applies to a chaya and oaf, but not by a behema. B'mezum. It has to be that which you have accessible to you in your house, not that which you, meaning, and ubashayna mizuman, and also to those that you do not have easily accessible to you in your house, and that you go out and you trap. Vinoig b'koy, and it applies to an animal that is a suffix, whether it's a chayu or a behema, mempeishu suffix, because it might be a chaya, and therefore might require a kisui adam, and that's why we do it. Vein shochten also b'yomtov, you're not supposed to shecht a koy on yomtov, because then you're not going to be able to do the kisui adam. And if you do shecht it, ein mechasen stomel, you can't shecht the dam on Yom Tov because the mitzvah of kisui dam of the koi is only a suffik, and if me suffik, we're not going to let you be mechal Yom Tov. So if it's a vadaisa, then yeah, you can be mechal Yom Tov, but me suffik, we're not going to let you be mechal Yom Tov. What exactly is the chil Yom Tov? So it could be that it's even the tiltul ha'afar is muktza, to move the dirt is muktza, even if it's not a violation of choresh, you're not going to have to dig anything in the ground or anything like that. Okay, so says Maru Mukdashin, my time alo. What is the reason that the mitzvah of kisui dam does not apply to Mukdashin? Now, one could have argued that the reason it doesn't apply is because you don't do shechita on Mukdashim, meaning the Chaya is automatically not Mukdashim. It's only Oaf. We don't do shechita on an Oaf. We do Malika on an Oaf. And the Torah talks about shechting. So, l'chora, one could have said that's why it's not included, because if you kill it in some other way, it's Patim L'chassos. So, Tosas writes that the main reason that they said that if you don't shecht, it's Patim L'chassos is because without a shechita, it's not Nitar Ba'achila, meaning there's no din that needs to have shechita. There's a din that you need to kill it in a way that's going to make it Mutar Ba'achila. Well, if you do Malika on an Oaf of Kachim, it does make it Mutar. So that would qualify as a shechita. So then we're back to our question. Why is it that b'mukdashin my time alone? Why don't you have a mitzvah of kisei adam on a behemas kachim? So maybe you're going to tell me like Rabbi Zeira, dam Rabbi Zeira shachitzar shiitein offer lamata va'offer lamayla, that when you shecht, you not only have to cover it with offer, you have to sandwich the dam with offer. There's got to be offer underneath. What they do is they put buckets with dirt in it, and when they shech chickens at least, and they put the chickens upside down in a funnel, and the blood just drips into those buckets. So it's landing on dirt, and then at the end of the day of Shechita, they throw more dirt on top of it. So they say, I mean, we still do this mitzvah. So they, I've done it, right? I mean, so they sandwich the blood with dirt. So Shenemar, because the pasuk says v'shafach estam v'chiso ba'afar, afar lo nemar, doesn't say v'chiso afar, ela be'afar. It says be'afar. Melamit she'ashoch yitzor chshitin afar l'mata v'afar l'mayla. So you see that you need to sandwich it with dirt. And v'hacha lo efshar. How would you ever do that with kachim? Because hechi lovin, what are you going to do? Leisiv v'levatle, you're going to put some dirt on the mizbeach and just be mevatle it there. Kamosif ha'binyin. But that's a violation of being mosif on the binyin, because you're changing the dimensions of the mizbeach if you're mevatle dirt on the mizbeach. Uksiv. And when the Navi describes the Beis HaMikdash and how it's supposed to be built, a great Daf Yomi coincidence, hakol b'ksav miyad Hashem alei askil, that everything is prescribed exactly, and that needs to be just so. You're not allowed to, you know, you can't bring like a fancy architect or designer into the Beis HaMikdash and say, no, all wrong, Kodesh Kodashim should be bigger, this one needs, you can't do that, everything is predetermined. So lo libatle, so what, you're not going to be mevatle there, you're just going to put some dirt on the mizbeach and have the dam go on top of that dirt, kavi chatzitza, then the dirt is a chatzitza between the dam and the mizbeach. Nihid, lematalu afshar, lemayla afshar, says Gemara, even though before you do the malika, you can't put dirt under it because it's a chatzitza, but after you do the malika, you can cover it with dirt. So you should do kisui adam anyway, at least lemaila. Meaning, even though you're supposed to sandwich it with dirt, but maybe by kachim where you can't, at the very least, you could still do the mitzvah of kisui adam by covering it with dirt. And that's still a fulfillment of kisui adam, because after all, milo tanya, don't we have a brisa that tells us that Rabbi Yosef ben Yosef Omer, shachar chayeva acharka, if you shecht the chaya, so the dam goes on the floor, and then you shecht the behema, so the dam goes on top of that, patur milchasos. You don't have to be mechasa it because the dam chaya is already covered with the dam behema. But behema v'achar kachaya, if you shecht the behema first and then the chaya, chaya v'lechasos, then you need to do the kisui. So even though you didn't put offer underneath the dam because the dam of the chaya fell on the dam of the behema, nevertheless you still cover it milamaila. So shouldn't we say the same thing by mukta? That by Hegdash Enachinami, I cannot sandwich it with dirt, but I could still be Mekayim Kisui by covering it with dirt. So it says, no, this is not like Shechting a Chaya on top of Dam Behema, because the reason there's a mitzvah of Kisui Dam when the Dam Chaya is on top of Dam Behema is Kid Rabbi Zeira. It's along the lines of what Rabbi Zeira taught. Dam Rabbi Zeira, Kola Roy Labila in Bila Makevispo, Vakol Shein Roy Labila, Bila Makevispo. That we know when it comes to the ratio of flour to oil in a carbon mincha, it needs to be enough oil that you could potentially mix it all with the flour. So, but it doesn't have to actually be mixed, but it has to be enough that it could. So too, when you shecht a chaya on top of dam behema, since you could have put afar on the dam behema prior to shechting the chaya, even though you didn't, the placing of the afar is not going to be ma'akev. But it's not going to be ma'akev that you sandwich it. Just putting afar on top will be a fulfillment of the mitzvah. But if you couldn't have even put afar on the bottom, like in the case of the mizbeach, where it was an impossibility to put offer on the bottom, then it taka is going to be ma'akev. So we're still looking for why the Gemara is going to still try to figure out: is there some way that we potentially could have done kisei adam on mukdashim? So Bez Hashem will pick up with that tomorrow with Veligdrei Velikasiyeh. Okay.